the Healing Through Love podcast with Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson. In episode 139, Learn to Become Your She-Hero with Pearl Tia Renz's Empowering Guide to Self-Care and Resilience.
If they all had to pick one thing they saw you do for yourself, what would they say? And if you can't think of five things right away, then we need to work on that people pleasing. We need to work on getting over, I have to control over things in my life. I don't have to be a stickler about getting things done. I can let go. I can let others help. I can say no. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, I'm not kidding you, you do become that shiro because you do become happier. And if you have little ones at home, and even if your kids are teenagers, it's really important that we empower them and see them. They emulate what we do, right? They copy what we do. People around us see, oh, you can take advantage of me. Ask me, Pearl will go do it. And the other thing too is like, communicate your realistic expectations with those around you. That's the other part that I love working on with my clients is like, you have to communicate, you know, if you have been doing for everybody and all of a sudden you stop, they're going to be like, what happened? Like, where'd she go? You know, I have to take care and do some things for me so I can de-stress, so I can help you.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Through Love. Each week, we share ideas, experiences, and resources to increase the awareness of domestic and family violence and to empower survivors to grow and thrive. We talk with experts who share their advice or with people who have experienced abuse, no matter where they are on their journey. This is all about healing through love. And now, here are your hosts, Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson.
Hello and welcome to the Healing Through Love podcast, a space where stories of strength, resilience, and transformation unfold. I'm your host, Charlene Lynch, and I'm honored to be your guide on this journey of empowerment and healing. Today, we have a very special episode tailored just for you, whether you're driving the car, sipping a cup of tea just like I am, or simply taking a moment to yourself. I want you to know that you're in a safe place. The Healing Through Love is more than just a podcast. It's a community, it's a beacon of hope, and a reminder that you are not alone. In this episode, we have a guest who shares a story that resonates at the core of our mission, a story that illuminates the power of love, resilience, and unwavering strength that lies in each and every one of us. So settle in, take a deep breath, and let the healing begin. But before we dive into today's inspiring narrative, a quick reminder that if you find value in our episode, consider supporting us by subscribing, sharing, and leaving a review. Your engagement helps us and others reach the heart and spread the message of healing at the speed of love. We've got a very special guest with us today. Her name is Pearl, and Pearl is from the other side of the world. She's dialing in from Florida, which is so exciting. And she is trusted award-winning guide to holistic well-being and empowerment. She is all about mental fitness, and she is a coach. She's an author. She's a speaker. There is so much to what it is that Pearl offers. And Pearl, I just got to know, how did you get to where you are right now?
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. And that's a great question. How do we get where we are in our life, right? So 2015, I was in the world of just helping with health and wellness, just helping you on your journey for weight loss. And I took this approach of not doing what the coach I was learning from doing. So like if a client came in and had that cupcake, they wasn't on the plan, right? If you went to her office, you might've got your hand slapped, like you're in front of mom and dad and you brought home a bad grade, right? Where you come in my room and I'd be like, okay, so let's talk about like what was going on. What was emotion behind it? Like why, you know, what was leading you to go have that cupcake, right? And so what was happening is I had clients who would say, oh my gosh, she doesn't need, but somebody like you, with like understanding what's happening with her mind and how it's making them with choices. Can you go talk to them? I'm like, okay, fine. So I go have a cup of teas because I'm not a tea drinker. I'm a tea drinker, not a coffee drinker. And so probably after about a month of doing many of these and not getting paid for it, I was like, all right, God, like, what do you want me to do with this? Like, what am I supposed to do? And it just came to me that I needed to go do more coaching. I want to do more of that life coaching. So I kind of went out and I found a place to go get certification. I got certified And this course came across my feed one day from a friend of mine. It was called Identity and Destiny. It was a 6-week course that at the end of 6 weeks, you had to give your I am statement. And so I am a recovering people-pleasing addict, but I didn't know that when I took this course. So as I go through this course at the end of 6 weeks, our oldest is this is 2015, so almost 10 years ago, which I just turned 60. So in my 50s, I'm fi starting to figure this stuff out, right? So I have to give this I am statement. And so we had partners that we worked out for accountability the whole 6 weeks. So I share with my accountability partner my I am statement. And she looks at me and she says, "I still don't hear Pearl anywhere in there. I still hear all the titles that you're wearing, your PTA, your mom, your wife, all these things. Where is Pearl?" Now, the funny thing about that question is, I hated my name growing up. I was short, so my maiden name was Knapp. So I was called Minnie Pearl. Pearl, go take a nap. Pearl Harbor. I did not like my name growing up. So I think for these 6 weeks, I just put that block on that I didn't like the name Pearl. And so she called me out on that. And then she said, "And by the way, don't you have another son? You see, my oldest son, we adopted. He was born of our hearts. We had adopted him. And my younger son was like me. He could do anything. He could build computers. He was very independent. So I kind of took advantage of that." So I looked at her, sat across from her, and I'm like, "Where have I been for 6 weeks? Why didn't I not get this stuff?" Right? So I dropped off our oldest son, to college a couple weeks later, and then came back. I was like, "I got to reconnect with my younger son, Nate." So I worked on that, and then I said, "I have to figure out who the heck I am." You know, my younger son was going to be off to college himself in a couple of years. Like, where am I? I've been with my husband now almost 40 years. So it's like, I got to figure this out. So I started looking and I was like, I say yes to everything. And she was right. I wear all these titles. So I was walking off to go to a network meeting and I saw this rock on the ground and I just picked up this rock. I don't know why. It just was pretty, stuck it in my pocket. And I went to this network meeting. And in the meeting, somebody had asked me, "Hey, Pearl, can you help me with this fundraiser?" It was around animals. And I looked at her and my hand kind of slept next to my pocket. And I just went, "No, I can't do that." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." I was like, I said, I first of all, I was like, I said it. And then I was like, "Oh, I said that not so nicely," right? Because we tell ourselves, you know, when we say no, people aren't gonna like us. But it really came out like she kind of looked at me. I go, wait. I didn't mean it that way. I just mean like, I can't do that because I love my dog and my cat at home, but showing up for animals, it's just not me. So she understood. So I walked out of there and I was like, that hurt a little bit for the first time of like really stepping into no, but it wasn't so bad. And so I started on this journey of making a commitment to truly starting to say no to something 3 times a day. So that rock became my anchor. And so what I would do, Charlene, is at the end of every day, if I had not moved that rock by 3 times, I had to email, call, or text somebody to tell them no. And so that's where this journey of overcoming people pleasing, that's where my journey, I create what's called a Shiro, because I found I was becoming stronger in saying no. It didn't hurt to say no. I didn't die from saying no. And I was starting to say it as happy as I could say yes. It took about 30 days, but like nobody thought I was selfish. And so I became stronger in no. But the cool thing is, like, how many times do we get stressed out because we're like, we make a commitment and we forget to get it done? We're so overwhelmed. You get mad to make your child a grilled cheese sandwich. Oh my gosh, you wake up in the middle of the night, you're stressed out. I forgot to send that email. I forgot to do that report, right? I wasn't having that anymore. I was happier. I was like, oh, this feels good. I don't have to worry about being showing up for something and putting a face on for something I really don't want to be at, right? And so as I became happier, I started like feeling empowered. Like, oh, this feels pretty good. I can do this. And so as I became empowered, it actually, I saw me grow in what I want to do. I saw me overcoming these titles. I saw me not showing for others, but I started being empowered to show up for myself. I wrote my first chapter in a book. I was like, oh, this doesn't feel so bad. And then the cool thing that happened is I would walk into rooms and people like, "Pearl, have you like lost weight? Like, what's so different about you? Did you cut your hair?" I call it the radiant glow up. I was like shining from the inside out, like because I was so confident in that I can put myself first without guilt, that no is a complete sentence and I could say it as happy as I say yes. And then the cool thing about all of that is growing up, I wanted to be a school teacher. I was like, I want to be an elementary school teacher. I love kids, you know, but that never happened for me. But I found myself walking in that original goal that I had. I found myself going from health and wellness to growing this coaching business, to working and talking with women that were like me, that were like, I say yes to everything. And they were stressed out, like I've been talking here with you already. And I was like, I want to empower them to do more. I want them to understand that you have to show up for yourself first, because if you don't, you're not showing up the way you want to for those that you love. So that's sort of where my Shiro came from: strong, happy, empowered, radiant, original self.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. And what I see, as many of our listeners are coming from that space of family and domestic violence background, is that this people pleasing is sort of embedded in us. I speak collectively because I'm a survivor myself. So I found that that made me more attractive to people who are going to be more inclined to not treat me the way that I deserve to be treated. So it sort of goes hand in hand. So what steps could we help our listeners with to help them move into their own power and away from being this people pleasing? Do we have to understand why we people pleasing, or can we just go through a process to not be a people pleaser anymore?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think you brought up a great point. A lot of times it's generational stuff, right? Like my granny did everything for everybody. My mom then gets married to my dad, who was in the service, who was gone at war. So my mom was trying to do for us kids while taking care of the house, right? And then we get to my generation. It's like, no, we want to start doing more, but we got this tug of war, like, oh, I still have to show up, right? So it's like we have to figure out what brings us joy. And that's where I think we have to start with is like, what truly brings you joy? And, you know, my clients, when they start working with me, I tell them, you're not going to like me the first 6 weeks because you're going to give me 10 things that bring you joy. And it's not going to just be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's going to be number one is why. And we're going to dig deep. We're going to keep saying, well, what about that? And what about that? And why is that? Because at the end of the day, when you really identify what brings you joy, then you can start going, you know what? I love going for a nature walk. But I'm so overwhelmed with all my commitments. So we start working on the not to do list that goes with that joy. Stop committing not to commit to over things that I can't get done. Not allowing myself to take time for me, right? So starting just baby steps, pick one thing that brings you joy and spend 30 days on that. Like really dive into that. And then as you do that, like as you walk through that process about what brings you joy, you can ask yourself, well, why do I put that on the shelf? Like that people pleasing, like why, what's the false narrative I'm telling myself? Especially like, you know, we think people think we're selfish. They're not going to like us. You know, I feel guilty, right? Why do you feel guilty saying yes to yourself to go sit in a front porch swing and write in a journal, right? Why do you feel guilty going to the beach for the day? I'm in Florida. I mean, I'm right near the beaches, right? You don't need to feel guilty. You're taking time for self. And here's the big kicker about this is when you do that, I'm not kidding you. You show up happier, like we were saying, around the things that you want to do with your, whether it's your job, whether it's your business, whether it's, you know, I call CEO moms. I don't call it stay-at-home moms. You run a business of a house at home. You have little people and other people you have to like guide them through this business of a home. So you show up happier in those areas that you want to be. And here's the big thing, and I'm going to get deep. If you do not start doing that, and for some reason, we don't have the honor of having you in our life tomorrow. Somebody's going to slide in your desk. Somebody that you, your client you work with now will find another coach to go work with because you're not here. And your family will figure out how to do the laundry and make dinner for themselves. So you, it's really imperative that you start doing that. Because if for some reason you're not here tomorrow and all your family and friends, your close, your five closest family members and friends, if they all had to pick one thing they saw you do for yourself, what would they say? And if you can't think of five things right away, then we need to work on that people pleasing. We need to work on getting over, I have to control over things in my life. I don't have to be a stickler about getting things done. I can let go. I can let others help. I can say no. And when you do that, I'm not kidding you, you do become that Shiro because you do become happier. And if you have little ones at home, and even if your kids are teenagers, it's really important that we empower them and see them. They emulate what we do, right? They copy what we do. People around us see, oh, you can take advantage of me. Ask me, Pearl will go do everything for you. I probably back in the day before I started working on this would help you organize your sock drawer if you called me to help you do it. That's how bad I was. But I got over like it took me a good 30, 45 days. And the other thing too is like communicate your realistic expectations with those around you. That's the other part that I love working on with my clients is like you have to communicate, you know, if you have been doing for everybody and all of a sudden you stop, they're gonna be like, what happened? Like, where'd she go? But if you say, hey, you know, especially at home, I remember coming home, like I said, my kids were in high school and almost off to college when I started doing this. I came home and said, listen, I'm gonna go in the room. I'm either gonna read a book or take a bath. For the next hour, don't bother me. I love you. And unless the house is on fire, your dad can even take you to the doctors, you know. I have to take care and do some things for me so I can de-stress, so I can help you with college applications. I can help you with your sports stuff. I can make dinner, you know. And when you do that and you communicate that, then they understand. The other thing is we think self-care is selfish. It's not selfish. You can do it with your loved ones. My oldest son, he played football. He had the worst football feet in the world, Charlie. He had the worst football. We would go get our mani pedis done. Him and I would sit down and our girl would laugh at us all the time because we would talk sex, drugs, rock and roll. We would have conversations about everything you can think of underneath the hat. And it was fun. And my younger son, we would go to the movies together. And the cool thing that happened is as they grew into young adults, you know, my oldest son, we didn't do mani pedi anymore. He didn't think he needed to do that because I don't play football anymore, but he loved sushi. So he's like, hey mom, you want to go for sushi? I knew at that point he wanted to talk. My younger one, you want to go for movies? I knew he wanted to talk. So those are also forms of self-care. Or sitting home with your kids and watching silly Barney, old Barney's cartoons, you know? So there's things you can do. We think it's selfish, but I will say, and you and I talked before we came on, but I say all that and I coach and all that. And in 2022, July, I didn't realize how much my learning and training and setting myself up to overcome people pleasing was going to make a difference in my life. You know, I lost my son in a tragic car accident, July of 2022. 2 days before he passed, him and my husband have a business. He was here in our garage. And it's like, hey, mom, can you chuck me a bottle of water? I'm like, sure. So I threw a bottle of water across at him. And he used to always, he'd watch me grow and he'd ask me questions about how do you say no? How do you, and he'd ask me about this self-care journey I was on. So I threw the bottle of water at him and he's like, whoa, not only have you figured out who the heck you are, but you finally can throw something. Cause I was a terrible football player. I would never practice football with him. And I want you to know, Charlene, those are the last really fun interaction we had. I mean, I talked to him 20 minutes before he passed. He butt dialed us, but that was the last and most comforting thought and reminder that the day after he passed, I went right to that conversation to say, I still have to show up as this Shiro. I still have to be strong for me. I still have to learn to find happiness even through the storm of a terrible tragedy like this, a club I don't want anybody to be in. And I know you and I've talked about this. And I still have to be empowered to live my life the way I know I'm supposed to live it because I'm still here for a reason. So if I sit and sulk, I'm not getting anywhere in my life. And that's just sitting around is not who I am. And then I still had to be that radiant. I still had to show up and glow up for my family. You know, I had a younger son and my son left a beautiful girlfriend and she had already had a daughter that Matt loved as his own. And then my husband, I had to show up for all of us. And then I had to be like, learn to step into that original self that I was before he passed, but learn how to do it differently after he passed. And so, you know, I know we often say about we're not promised tomorrow, and you and I can agree that we walk that walk. And I embrace every day I have. I embrace every relationship I have, but I embrace the relationship with myself first because I have to take care of me first.
I love that. There's so much to unpack in what you've just said. I particularly love the joy, and you know, because joy is a really high frequency. It's up there with love, 540 hertz. Like, this is a frequency that the human body wants to stay at. I love the fact that you said, write a list of the things that you find joy. And instead of trying to do them all, concentrate on just one and go really deep and find out why that gives you joy and how you can then have that placed above the requirements of others and how politely you say no. but firmly. And I love that you've discovered a way that you can create those boundaries for yourself, and now you're teaching others how to create those boundaries as well. I love it as a survivor. You know, where were you when I needed you? I'm glad now that you're out there coaching people and making a difference and sharing this. This is fantastic, and I particularly like the Shiro. As a married woman, I'm particularly fascinated how it affected your relationship with your husband when you went from this person that did everything to this person that now has the boundaries and you're still happily married. How many years have you been married? And tell me about that transition.
So we've been married 37 years. We've been together for 40 years. I asked him to marry me, by the way, which is a really fun thing. But Chuck has always been that supportive. Like he saw, I grew up in a household, if my parents argued, they just didn't talk to one another. You walked on eggshells, like, and then all of a sudden everything is fine. And you're like going, what happened? Like, you don't understand, right? So when I came into our relationship at, 20 years old, he was like, if we had a disagreement or something, I would just shut down. And he was like, I can't help you if you don't talk to me. So he's really part of my communication. He'll tell you now, I can't get her to shut up, right? But if I wouldn't respond in the conversation, he would actually have the disagreement for me. I would hear him say, oh, well, she must be thinking this. And I'd be going, no, that's not what I was thinking. And so he's been my biggest cheerleader to step into this. He saw me like show up for so many people. He'd be like, you have to stop showing, you have to stop doing that. He really pushed me when I stepped into this. He's like, finally, you're getting it. You got to have boundaries. Finally, you're getting saying no, because he would see me. I'd go off here and do that, go off there and do this, So when I started doing that, it actually helped our relationship because I was home more with us. Like we were doing more together. And then I was doing more quality things with my kids. I was, like I said, sushi dinners and things like that. And then being home for me, he loved if I went, for a little jaunt at the beach because he knows I love the beach, right? He'd be like, okay, great. I'll see you soon, And so he was very, very supportive. And, and I'm very blessed. And let's be honest, not everybody has that, right? Not everybody has that. So it really is about communicating and, and understanding what the other person's like love language is. One of the things that we do, there's two things that come to my mind when I think about our relationship. One is we agreed early on with this communication thing to allow each other the space to share what's on our mind. So we have a commitment that, if something's bothering me and I want to talk to him about it, the other person may not be in the headspace to have a conversation, right? So we have this thing that says, are you open to receiving something that's on my mind right now? And we agree that we can say no, and but we have to come back within 24 hours to have the conversation. So what's really cool about that is that if we say no within 24 hours, you kind of calm down a little bit. You kind of reshape your thoughts, and it actually gives you time to really get your point across without feeling like you're hurting the other person. Like you're calm, cool, and collected when you have the conversation. So that's one thing we did. The other big thing that showed up is that when Matt passed, Chuck has had loss in his family. He lost his biological dad the day before he was born. He lost a younger brother at 12 years old. We lost our father-in-law, and then he's lost, my mother-in-law. I loved my mother and father-in-law to death. They were an epitome of what parents look like for me. I learned that from them. So he's had a lot of loss. So when it comes to your child, it's so different. And so I remember he came home one day from doing the business that he works. And I said to him, I go, how was your day? How you doing? And it was probably about 3 months after Matt passed. And he looked at me and he goes, life. And I sat for a minute and I was like, oh, he's having a tough day with grief. So he's letting me know life is rough right now. And that's how I'm feeling. So I was like, so I literally, it opened conversation to be like, okay, when he tells you that, I want to give him space to be like, do you want to talk about Matt? Do you want to talk about what's happening in life for you right now? And so it's a great way to communicate. It's like understanding what the other person's triggers are or love languages are. We hear that talk a lot, but a lot of people don't understand love language. But getting to know how that other person communicates with you has been part of our big success. It's carried us through this, and it's carried us through, supporting each other in the loss. The one thing we made a commitment. It's really been a unit of four of us. We don't live near any family, to be honest with you. So the three of us, my husband, my son Nate, and I, when we lost Matthew, we made a commitment that we would not hide emotions. We would cry in front of each other if we have to cry, and we would honor each other where we're at with our grief. And so that communication, I still give back to Chuck when I first met him years ago, that didn't let me be quiet in what was bothering me.
I love that. I love that. And that just speaks so loudly to not just how we take our partners on our journey of self-discovery and moving forward, but how we take the family unit forward as well. And that is asking those beautiful questions, giving each other space, and giving each other the level of grace that's required if the timing that you're on is not the same timing as the other person.
Right.
I could learn some lessons there as a woman who's neurospicy, ADHD to the max. There's only my timing. That's how our brain works. And, I am inappropriate sometimes in how the questions that I ask. There is no filter system. And I could have better conversations with more grace. I will be taking that on as my hope
Awesome.
to move forward, Pearl. I love it. And I love the name Pearl. My auntie, who was a very strong woman who really held our family together, through some real tragedy. Her name was Pearl, and she was tiny. She's a real tiny lady, but she was like a dynamo. And I've always loved that name. For me, Pearl means strength and beauty. I don't even know what it means, but that's what it means to me. So I love your name, Pearl, and you do
Oh,
not
gosh.
look your age. So I'm 58,
Oh,
and I reckon we're rocking this. We're doing okay.
yeah, 100%. And let me tell you, now I love my name. I brand my name everywhere. I have this little thing for podcasting I use in my podcast. Like, Pearl is all over me now. Like, I had shoes on today that have pearls all over them. So I embrace my name now. And my name's 3 generations old too. So I was named after my aunt, who's named after a great aunt. So it, yeah, I totally love my name now.
I love it. I love it. In one of my keynotes, I talk about the pearls of wisdom, and it's absolutely beautiful. I just love it on every level. It's beautiful. So there's so much to learn here. Can I ask people that are listening today that want to know a little bit more? They want to look at how they can recover from people pleasing, and they want to lean into a little bit more of the Shiro. How can they connect to you? What's the best way to connect? We will put the links in the show notes and in the show description, but what's the best way someone can connect to you moving forward?
Yeah, so you can email me at info@wsliving.com and just put the subject line Shiro, and I'll send you my free quiz. I think you also have it in the show notes. If you want to know where you are in your mental fitness and do you show up as a people pleaser, stickler, controller, it's pearlssurvey.com/PQ quiz. But I know you'll put that in the show notes as well. But you can go on there and take the quiz, and it will show you how you're showing up and show you how you rank. So when I took the quiz years ago, my people pleaser was way up there, like almost practically a 10, and it's come down a lot now. But yeah, so it's gotten a lot better. And I just don't know what happened to my Zoom. My Zoom just went crazy.
We just went in for the close-up. I'm ready for my close-up. I love
Gonna switch my camera.
it. It looks amazing. You look amazing.
Ah, I lost you.
She's almost there. And while we're sorting that out, if you're listening today and you are a survivor of family and/or domestic violence, reach out to Healing Through Love. We create pamper days. So think day spa on steroids. And they're not just here in Adelaide, they're also in other major cities in Australia. Plus, also, as of 2023, we've gone global. So we have them in the States and Canada, Hong Kong, Japan, several other countries. So reach out to us if you're a survivor, and we'll connect you to your next to the closest pamper day for you. The service is free, and it's there for you to help show what's possible in your life and just hold the space and show how amazing you are as a human. Now, if you're listening today and you're a practitioner, and that is every level of practitioner, I mean, we're talking hairdressers, makeup artists, we're talking chakra aligning, whatever it is that you do that makes a difference for people and can help them move forward, reach out to us at Healing Through Love, because we're looking for practitioners to put you in contact with our organizers in different locations around the world. Or if you really have a heart for change and you're looking to take it to another level, have a conversation with us to run one of these in your own backyard. We would love to dive in deep and have those beautiful conversations. So reach out to Healing Through Love. It's been a privilege and a pleasure, Pearl, to have this conversation. I get the feeling that we could chat all day, just saying. But I would really, in closing today, what would be your final words of wisdom to our audience that's listening?
Yeah, so I'm just going to hold this up. I know I grabbed it, but I'm just going to say, We come into this world and we have a lot of rough things on the outside. It's like that shell of an oyster, right? And we have to work on different things, but as you do and you get to pry open that shell, you will find your inner pearl to greatness. And I just want all the listeners to know that as you listen to today's show, I hope we opened your shell a little bit and you find your inner pearl to greatness.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it on every level. Pearl, this has been fantastic. It won't be the last time that we communicate, and I'm looking forward to having you back as a guest on our show. And I understand that your podcast is changing and shifting into a new space as well. So we look forward to sharing the links for your new podcast on our platforms as well. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to have a cup of tea with you today, and just be safe and know that you've got this. And we'll see you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Healing Through Love. You can get further resources, see the show notes, or simply reach out to us via our website at htlaustralia.org. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to your company next time on the Healing Through Love podcast.